I met two interesting men this week, one in Atlanta, Georgia, from Scotland. I asked him, after engaging him in conversation for a few minutes, "Are you a Christ follower?" He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "I grew up in a religious background," gave me a denominational tag, and he said, "I didn't know the Lord then, but my son got right with God in a youth meeting. Now my son plays in the youth band, and I travel with them as they go and sing in different churches." He said, "I'm in a different church almost every Sunday hearing the gospel, and yes, I'm a Christ follower." Saturday morning or Friday morning, I met a man who's now a pastor down in Central Florida, and I said to him, "Tell me your story." He said, "I've been in jail 5 times in my life." He said, "I'm 60 years old, and I grew up a hippie. Had long hair and nasty pants, and I wore sandals before they were flip-flops." He said, "God radically changed my life when I met the Master and became a Christ follower." The question this morning is, are you a Christ follower? We're walking through the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 2, and we're going to be reading the first 10 verses. I'm going to then share a message that I've entitled, "Dead or Alive? Which one are you?" We're going to give an invitation, and somebody here is going to say, "Pastor, I'm spiritually dead. If I left this building spiritually dead, I know that I would die a second time. It'd be physical death, and then I would die a spiritual death. Hell would be my home, and I don't want that. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today." And somebody's going to step out in the aisle, walk down the front, and take me by the hand, and I'm going to give you to an encourager. You're going to go out this door underneath this blinking exit sign. We got a red light special on salvation today in the encourager room. Brother Brian, I want you to get that fixed this week before we come in here next week. But you'll go right under that blinking exit sign, all right? You'll say yes to Jesus back there in the encourager room. You'll say, "Lord, I've never been saved." And you'll ask God to do a work. And what God will do is He will raise you from the dead. For you are spiritually dead, and God will raise you to spiritual life. Dead or alive? Which one are you? Paul was a dead man, met Jesus on the Damascus Road. God saved him and made him an apostle and a great apologist and a preacher. Also made him a scripture writer. And from the jail in Rome, he penned these words in Ephesians 2 in verse 1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the counsel of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, but God." Aren't you glad that the scripture says, "But God did some stuff"? "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." The Bible only lists two categories of people from the Genesis to the Revelation. We read that we are either lost or saved, Christian or non-Christian, fruitful or non-fruitful, Jesus said in John 15. And Paul said in this text, dead or alive, we are either in Christ or out of Christ. And the question I ask you again this morning, which one are you? Everybody in here is one of these two things. You are either alive in Christ or you are dead in the flesh outside of Christ. Which one are you? Dead or alive? This morning, I want to take just a few moments and do a simple exposition of this text. I want to do two things. Number one, I want to identify the traits of the spiritually dead. Then Paul identifies some traits of the spiritually alive. And I want you to ask yourself, by looking at these traits, which one is you? Are you spiritually alive or are you spiritually dead? Now, I'm not asking you if you come to church. I'm not asking you if you're a member of Olive. I'm not asking you if you were baptized. I'm asking you, are you spiritually alive? Let's look at the traits of the spiritually dead. There are five of them very quickly. I just want you to see these with me. There are five. Number one, the spiritually dead are diseased. They are diseased. Verse 1 says, you are dead in your trespasses and your sins. Trespasses, that word trespass means to fall aside. You're standing straight up, and then you have fallen over. The word sin is the word hamartia, and it means that we have missed the mark. It's like shooting a gun or pulling back the bow and an arrow and shooting it, but missing the target. We have this disease called sin. Everybody has sin as a disease, and it will kill you spiritually unless you've met the healer, the Lord Jesus. We have a disease. Number one, we are diseased. Number two, not only are the spiritually dead diseased, they're also deceived. Deceived. Notice it in verse number two. The Bible says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the course of this world. You've been duped, you've been deceived, and you're following not after the Lord, but the spiritually dead are following after the demonic. Now here's the chief course of the devil's deception. The devil's deception is this: I can get to heaven by doing good works, and I really don't need radical salvation in Christ by grace. I get there by what I do. If I were to ask you right now, are you going to heaven or hell? And you said, I'm going to heaven. I said, why? And you said, I've done more good than I've done bad. You are dead in your trespasses and sin. Not only are you dead, you've been duped. You've been deceived. The deceiver gets us to... Every false religion is based on this premise. You get heaven by doing good. Islam is a false religion. Why? You've got to do good in order to get there. Christianity, Bible faith, you don't do good to get there. You die to self and do have faith in what Christ has done on the cross to get you there. You're deceived. You see, everybody's got a sin nature. And it's death. Do you like rattlesnakes? I'm scared of rattlesnakes. I don't like them. But you know, when they're just little baby snakes, do you know you could take a baby rattlesnake home and you could pet it and feed it? You could. You could put it in a little box and keep it. And you could pamper it. And you could make it your pet. But I want you to understand something about that baby snake. The poison sacs will fill. And the fangs will grow. And the rattlers will appear. And if you put that full-grown snake in heaven, it would strike out at angels. Now, you can dress your sin up all you want to. But you've been deceived if you think you can pet yourself into heaven. We're diseased. We're deceived. Thirdly, he says the spiritually dead are disobedient. Look in verse number 2, the last part. Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You see, our inclination as spiritually dead men, our inclination is not to do good, it's to do wrong, it's to disobey God. And I want you to understand, if your inclination is always just to disobey God and do the wrong thing again and again and again and again, you've never had a change of nature. You may be religious, but you're lost. That nature is broken in salvation. You've received a new heart, as Jeremiah talked about, one of flesh that becomes obedient unto the Father. The spiritually dead are diseased. They're deceived. They're disobedient. Verse 3 says we've been defiled. Number 4, we've been defiled. Look at it in verse number 3. Among them we too all of us, Paul said, I was one of them. We formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now watch this. You see, those that are defiled, it's not just in your flesh. You know, most of us say, well, preacher, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not into all that. He said, your mind as well. It's not just the desire of the flesh that we indulge, but the desire of the mind. We've been defiled in not just what we do, but what we think. And then number 5, not only are we diseased and deceived and disobedient and defiled, we are also doomed. Verse 3 says, by nature, children of wrath, even as the rest. Without Christ, we are without God, we are without hope, we are children of wrath. And when you die, you go to hell when you're a child of wrath. Now, we don't like to talk about hell. I mean, you know, but we ought to preach about it a little more. We ought to quit giving it to people and we ought to start preaching about it a little more. Hell's a real place. It's as real as Olive Baptist. Matter of fact, it's more real than Olive Baptist because this place is going away and hell will be forever. Dear friend, if you're lost today, you are doomed to a sinner's grave and a devil's hell as a child of wrath. But God. Amen? I don't like those traits that are of the lost, but let me tell you, friend, if that's who you are, you need to come down this aisle today and you need to take me by the hand and you need to go under the blinking light and say yes to Jesus. You need to go out there with an encourager. One of these folks will come forward and they'll say, yes, yes. Yes, you can know the Lord. Yes, you can be saved. Jesus said yes to the cross, and you can be saved today. And you ought to get out of your seat and walk here and say yes to the Father. So what happens when I get saved? Well, then there are some traits that you have as somebody that is spiritually alive. Are you spiritually alive today? Just say amen if you are. Now, if you really are spiritually alive from the inside out, let me give you 4 things that are traits of the spiritually living. Number 1, the first trait is that the spiritually alive person, they have a resurrection day anniversary. Amen. Look at it in verse number 4. But God, being rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Verse 6, and raised us up with him. Everybody that's saved has a resurrection day anniversary. Amen. I got one. I was 10 years old. Jesus stepped out of heaven, stepped in my heart, and raised me from the dead. And that's my resurrection day anniversary. How many people are in this room today and today's your birthday? I want you to stand up. If it's your birthday today, I want you to stand up. Anybody in here, it's your birthday. Anybody's birthday today? Just stand up. I can't see past the third row. Somebody holler. Is anybody standing up that it's your birthday? There's one. Anybody else's birthday? Who is that? I can't see you, so I can't tell who you are. Cindy. Hi, Cindy. How are you doing today? Happy birthday. I'd brought presents if I'd have known you was going to stand up. We'd have put up balloons. Anybody else's birthday here today? On the left. Whose birthday is it? Just holler at me. Wayne. Happy birthday, Wayne. Amen. That's good. Anybody else's birthday here today? In the back. Who is that way in the back? Amen. happy birthday. Another one in front of you, happy birthday. Anybody else's birthday? Okay, Leo, let's sing. Happy birthday. All right, stand up and help us. Here we go. We're going to sing. Sing, let's go. You're in right now. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Now give them all a hand. Amen. It's a good day for them. If you have to ask me if Leo knew he is going to do that, you're spiritually dead, all right? Amen. Now, you say, preacher, that's kind of silly. Well, it is kind of silly, but now watch this. We celebrate birthdays. We do. Matter of fact, when I turned 50, those of you that were here with us 6 years ago, I pitched my own party, and you remember that, and I made you pay for it. And we did some great things. Do you have a Resurrection Day anniversary? So, preacher, what's that mean? You see, you know the day. When I said, is it your birthday, most people stayed sitting down. Why? Because you knew today wasn't your day. But you were thinking in your mind, now, boy, mine's coming up. It's over here, and I hope somebody's preparing. And can you take me to a place and tell me of a time? I'm telling you, people that are spiritually alive, they celebrate a Resurrection Day anniversary. And if you don't have one, you ought to make March 21, 2010, your Resurrection Anniversary Day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You ought to ask God to save you. You say, preacher, I'm not sure. Well, then you better get sure. You know your birth date, don't you? You sure about it? Burt Relliford was a fellow that couldn't read or write in Pisgah, Alabama, and he had two boys. One of them's name was Wayne. He's about 6'6". I remember they'd come in the store. They were the poorest people I ever met, the Rellifords. I was just a kid growing up. I remember asking Mr. Relliford one time, I said, Wayne, how old's Wayne? He said, I really don't know. I said, well, when's his birthday? I was just a little boy. I said, when's his birthday? He said, I don't know. It was blackberry picking time when he was born. That's what he told me. He couldn't read, he couldn't write. He didn't know that, but he knew the season. He remembered it because he was there. You see, we all celebrate that. But let me tell you, friend, if you've been born again, you can celebrate. If you don't remember when you got saved, you didn't. Now, I have people, they'll argue with me about this. And when I preach, everybody wants to know this date and time. Now, hear me. I understand some confusion. Even Billy Graham's wife said she can never remember a time when she didn't believe. She said for her it was like the sun coming up. She said it's got brighter and brighter. She said, I just believed on the name of Jesus from the time I heard. I understand. And there's some people that are that way when you're small and you try to pinpoint a date. You get that way. I've talked to Jerry back here. He plays the stuff in the back. And Jerry, he's frustrated with that. It's hard to pinpoint. But he knows that there's been a time when he's called on the name of the Lord. Well, I want to ask you, you say, preacher, I just can't ever, let me tell you, if you just can't remember and you don't have a clue, dear friend, you need to come to the place that you know the time. If God raised you from the dead, you'd remember it. It's not what you do, it's what he did. And I'm telling you, when God comes after you and finds you and saves you, you remember that point in time. But God, rich in his mercy, raised us from the dead. The first trait is that you have an anniversary date. Now, I can't tell you the day. I can tell you that it's a Thursday when I was 10 years old. I remember that. I didn't write down a date and remember it was June, whatever. I could go back and find it on one of these calendars. It tells you all that stuff. But I just remember it's a Thursday in June, Vacation Bible School. It's a period in my life when I know God saved me. Do you have a Resurrection Day anniversary? Number two, the second thing of spiritually alive people is that they have an understanding of grace, of grace. Notice in verse number 8, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. A lot of people argue about what the gift is in this text, that is it grace or is it faith? I think the gift is salvation. It's the context. The gift is salvation, and it comes by grace, and it comes by faith. Now, understand grace. Now, the Baptist definition of grace is unmerited favor. We don't merit God's love and grace. God found us. We didn't find Him. We were dead. He raised us from the dead. We weren't looking for God, but God was looking for us. You see, if you've been saved, you understand grace. Grace. Now, mercy is getting less than you deserve. The law is getting exactly what you deserve. But grace is getting the opposite of what you deserve. See, if you jump out of here and run out on I-10 and start flying toward Tallahassee and you're running about 95, you're going to meet one of our state workers. And you're going to get either law or mercy or grace. If you get the law, they're fixing to write you a ticket. Going to cost you about $200. That's what people tell me. Or you can get mercy. You get less than you deserve. He might say to you, need to slow it down. Now go on, take it easy. Get home to your wife and kid. Or you may get grace. You get to see, here's grace. That police officer is going to ask you to get in the car with him. He's going to take you down to the judge. And when he gets you down to the judge, he's going to say, Judge, I found this preacher running 98 miles an hour down I-10. And I've come down, and he's guilty of sin. You ought to throw him under the jail, but I've come down here to pay his ticket for him. And whatever you're going to do, it's really my fault, not his. And I'm going to take the blame and pay the penalty for this preacher. Now, you're not going to get that out of a law officer in Florida. You only get that out of King Jesus, because that's what He did for you. He took you to the throne and He said, what He deserves, put it on me. That, my friend, is grace. It's the opposite. It's unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, but God so loved the world, He loved you, that by grace are you saved. You say, well, what do you do with that? Receive it. That's called grace through faith. Some people get down there with a police officer and he's going to pay your ticket, and you say, not me. I don't believe in charity. I'll pay my own fine. I'll go spend my own time in jail. Dear friend, when you look at Jesus and say, I can make my own way, He says, okay, my friend, you go your way. But I offer you grace. And it comes through faith. You receive that grace as a gift of God. These people that stood up, if it's somebody loves them on their birthday, they're going to give them a present. And the only way they get it is to receive it. We have gifts at Christmas. It's a dumb thing, but we do it. Adults giving each other presents. And then we always say, well, you know, if he needed anything, he'd buy it for himself. So we sweat and try to come up with something we can give. It's just hard. And some things you get, you just think, what is that? Matter of fact, we have people who play tricks on us, who give us things to see if we will be gracious when we open them. It's a pretty cool thing at Christmas. Oh, I just love it. What is it? But you receive it. But then think of the most precious gift you could ever get, the thing you'd want more than anything else. And when you tear into that, you say, oh, I love that. Let me tell you, friend, that's the way you receive the Lord Jesus. You know you couldn't afford it. You could, and they give it to you. I had a gentleman in his congregation give me for Christmas this year 2 tickets free to the Alabama-Texas football game in Pasadena. I could afford to buy those tickets, but I did not know anybody that I could get them from. He had the inside track to get them, and when he bought them, he then gave them to me. That's grace. And I received them by faith. Amen. Wasn't anything I could do for that. Just to receive. Let me tell you, God loves you, friend. I don't care what you've done. You sorry, doomed, deceived, duped sinner. God loves you. He said, I died for you. I show grace to you. Receive it. You see, those that are spiritually alive, they get it. They understand it's not what they did, it's what Jesus did. They understand grace. Number three, not only do the spiritually alive have a resurrection day anniversary and they have an understanding, they have eternal security in Christ. Look at verse 6. He raised us up with him and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. That's future. That's way out there that he's going to show it to us in the ages to come. We have eternal security with him. We've been seated with Christ in the heavenlies, in the heavenly places. When you get saved, you are in Christ. And the only way to get lost is to get out of Christ. And when you get in him, you can't get out. I'm telling you, spiritually alive people understand there is eternal security in Christ. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you can have your salvation and then lose it. If you're in Christ, you are saved, 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 saved. Secure in the Lord Jesus. And then number four. Not only are those that are spiritually alive, that they have a resurrection day anniversary, they have an understanding of grace, they have eternal security in Christ, they have a testimony of growth. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. I was standing right out here today. Right outside these doors, I was standing while people were coming in. And as they were coming in, I was greeting people, saying hello. I tried to make it around a lot of doors today, and I moved over there. I won't use this in second service, but the whole line of our Caris House ladies came in. Jackie, the house mother in Caris House 2, she said, Pastor. But she really said, Pastor. Have you met our newest lady? I said, no, I've not. And she introduced me to Heather. If you looked at Heather, you would think that she was just like any other Baptist. Raised in the church, singing a youth choir, went to youth camp. Matter of fact, you can sign up for youth camp today. Went out in the summer, grew up, went off to a Christian college, and she just looks like all the rest of us reprobates. I said, she looks like all the rest of us reprobates. Beautiful little girl. And she got in line with all the rest of the girls. And I looked at Jackie, and she walked off, and I thought, there's God's workmanship. Prostitute, bouncer in a bar, and now got all of her little chickens lined up, taking them to Sunday school. The way you know you're alive in Christ is that you're growing. And let me tell you, friend, if nothing's changed in you in 50 years, you might want to look and see if you've really got a resurrection card. Dead people don't change. But people that are alive, God is always doing a good work because he's prepared that good work and he's growing us. What's changed since last Easter in your life? Are you more like Jesus this Easter than last? Has God moved in you in a new and a fresh and a growing way? You know, doctors can do some great stuff. The medical field, they really can. Doctors can remodel faces. Amen. I've been praying about that myself. That they can give you a smile that you'd be proud of. You know, over in Romania and Kazakhstan, where we visit a lot of times, a lot of people, when they talk to you, they'll kind of, because when they talk, they're not proud of their teeth, and they kind of don't want you to see it. Doctors can remodel faces and remake smiles. They can transplant kidneys. Amazing. Take a kidney out of this dude and put it in another dude. That's amazing, to take one man's kidney and put it in another one. They can do that. They can implant lenses. They're going to do that to me Wednesday. They're going to do a cataract deal on my left eye. I'm going to put a lens in my eye. And then they say I'll be able to see a little bit better. Amazing. That they can even put a lens in your eye that's a bifocal. Phenomenal. Medical procedure. They can bypass arteries. Now that's a deal. You eat all the chicken you want and then they just root around that thing. They just re-plumb you up. And then you get blood back in your face and you're ready, you know, for another 10,000 miles. They can put in new joints. Wow. They take his knee out and they size it up. Used to be they just put small, medium, large. Now they tailor make them. They stick them in there and make them out of all kinds of material. Doctors can do all of that if you're alive. If you're dead, they don't do any of that. The only thing a doctor can do for you when you're dead is take a sheet and put it over your face. He's done. She's done. But God, when I was dead in trespasses and in sin, by the riches of His mercy, and by His grace, He raised me from the dead. Old Brother Lionel Patton, he's in heaven, and he's watching me preach right now. Said, you know that? I don't know that, but I like to think sometimes they're looking. Other times I hope they're not looking. I've heard him say it 25 times, if I've heard him say it once, that when God saved me, He raised me from a dead level to a living perpendicular. I didn't even know what that meant. Then I got to algebra class and I found out what a perpendicular was. I said, that makes sense. We used to be a dead level. We were dead and God raised us to a living perpendicular. You say, I don't know what that means. Go home, look it up. It'll bless your soul. It's a mathematical term. He raises us to stand in Christ. The guy that wrote this passage is Paul. He was one of the most religious men you could ever meet. He loved the church. He loved the synagogue, but he was dead. He was religious, but he was dead. Matter of fact, he was so religious, he started killing people that came against his religion. And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and God raised him from a dead level to a living perpendicular. Made him a preacher, made him an apologist, made him a Bible scripture writer. And he's sitting in a jail writing this passage to the church at Ephesus. And he said, all of you formerly were far off in sin, but God, who was rich in mercy, for by grace you have been saved. Are you dead or alive? Brother Rattrigg, are you dead or alive back there today? He's alive. He's having a hard time getting in and out of the building. I was talking to him this morning. I told him I was going to call on him during church. But he's alive in Christ. Is he perfect? If you know Rattrigg, you know that ain't so. He's just like me. He's imperfect. But God's put new life, raised us to walk and be like Jesus. Give me one last thing that spiritually alive people are. Since you understand grace, spiritually alive people are gracious. They're grace people. And grace. They're second chance people. They're Jesus people. Now everybody in this room, don't look at me. Look up at that glass. It's in here. Look up at that glass. Look at that glass. We put it in here. It's there. That's grace. Amen. That's grace. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him on that cross shall not perish but have everlasting life. As a malefactor over here on my right, your right, and there's a cross that's in the dark, and that cross, a guy just said, I don't believe that. He's spiritually dead and in hell today. As I go over here on the left, he's a sinner, a malefactor, a thief. He said, Lord, I have mercy. God, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Spiritually dead, spiritually alive. Which one are you? Your life is represented by one of those two crosses on either side, either in darkness of death and lostness, or either in light of faith and salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Which one are you? If you're dead in sin today, in a moment I'm going to ask you to pray. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord to raise you from the dead and do a good work within you. If you're saved, while I'm praying this prayer, I want you to thank God for the person who told you and go back to the time when you got saved. And I want you to thank God for when you got saved. Just thank the Lord for all of those ramifications, everything that came about in that time. Now I want you to listen to me. The doors of the worship center are now locked. I don't want anybody to get up, move, or leave. I'm going to ask everybody in here to make sure you know you're dead or alive today and that you got eternity sealed while we walk through this Ephesians 2 passage. This is the most important thing you can ever settle in all of your life, to know that you're alive in Christ. Would you pray with me? If you've never been saved and you've never been made alive in Christ, you pray these words after me in your heart, something like this, and call on the name of the Lord, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you've known grace today and you want to receive it, you tell the Lord in your heart of hearts, Father, I confess I'm spiritually dead. Father, thank you that you loved me. And Lord, I ask you now to save me. I confess that I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Make me a Christian. Raise me spiritually to new life. And I give you my life by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.